This is the High Value Man Conversation Podcast, a show dedicated to the mission of building high value men. Men that are courageous, committed, and uncompromising in their pursuit of greatness.
You run the day and stop having the day run you.
Monday, get better. Tuesday, get better. Wednesday, get better.
Everybody's great when they're not tired. Champions is when they're tired. That's when the real champions come out.
The next day, get up, get up, get up, get up. Keep going.
Win it. I'm going to win.
You're not as far away from these dreams as you think you are.
One great man means a great family, a great neighborhood, a better city, community, state, and the world. The question is, if not you, then who?
Crazy statistic, Josh. 67% of marriages ended for this primary reason.
Communication.
Yeah.
Lack of it.
Lack of it. And it's not money. It's not sex. Those are also statistics that are very high. But 67.5% of marriages ended primarily due to communication problems. Communications ultimately run into your connection, which affects sex.
Yeah.
And it runs into your ability to manage your finances, talk about things that are important or not important, and to prioritize. But communication is the thread that runs through every single relationship.
Yeah, unity and connection overall. If it's great, good. If it's not, it has everything to do with your communication. If you're not in unity, if you're not in agreement on things, again, sex, finance, all these other issues are born or bred out of those. Yeah. It's simply because either we didn't learn how or we thought we were communicating and we didn't.
Yeah.
And I love that George Bernard Shaw says the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that has taken place.
I love that.
The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that has taken place.
Yeah.
And that 67.5% of failed marriages would agree with that.
I agree. It's interesting too. I forget where I heard this. I think actually Garrett mentioned this on a podcast, but sent does not mean received.
Hmm.
And so just because you send a communication, you say something, you send a text message, you send a voice shot, you share something at a meeting, or you share something with your spouse, does not mean it's received, because there's two sides of a communication and there's a whole dynamic in regards to how we receive communication that we're going to be breaking down in this episode.
Yeah, let's do it. I like it. So I love that we touched on that statistic. One, it's heart-wrenching to think that somewhere between half and three quarters of all marriages don't make it because of communication. In general, especially in an age like today, Aaron, we have, most people have cell phones. We live in a very prominent area of the world between social media, cell phones, email, blogs, etc. We would think that we communicate really well.
I think it's actually worse. I think we communicate worse now than we ever have, because there's less physical contact. There's less care for the words that we're using. There used to be a time when we would write letters to those that we cared about and actually would choose every word. We couldn't just like randomly spout something off. And so there's a lot less intentionality now, and a lot less emotional intelligence, because we were isolated. I think that was probably the biggest destructive point during COVID, is that we spent so much time alone and isolated. We forgot how to communicate. Like, people showing up on Zoom calls, just not interacting with people because there wasn't that closeness.
Yeah, it's very true. And Zoom did its best even in those midst of that season, but it's really difficult to be connected with anybody via screen.
Yeah. There's another stat too that you put in that we were talking about beforehand, that 55% of communication is body language. So if you're texting, if you're on Zoom, you're missing out on a lot of the primary ways that we perceive information. And there's two sides of communication, right? There's the sender and there's the receiver. But if you can't interpret the body language, that's half of your communication. Then we have 45% is the tone. How you're saying it, and tone is everything, especially in your dynamic of your romantic relationship, is how you say something or how you perceive something is said. That says more than what is actually said.
Yeah.
And then just
5%. Before you go into words real quick, I want to steal this as a Darlene-ism. So my mother in love, Darlene Auchinleck, said this at a very young age to Brittany, and we've carried it throughout our marriage. But tone in general is, I can serve you, just think of this, my favorite steak is like a bone-in ribeye served medium rare, just the way I like it, from a very specific restaurant. So that's my intent. Let's say that steak to give is what I intend to give you words-wise.
Okay.
I want you to receive it. I can deliver that to you on a bone platter beautifully that you would get at that restaurant, or on a trash can lid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same steak made by the same cook in the same kitchen, but I have two ways of delivering it to you.
Very good presentation.
That is tone.
Yeah.
So we can have an intent to say something, to deliver a message, to convey something.
Yeah.
And our tone is what it's delivered on. Now, 45% of communication in general is that delivery.
I love that.
So huge.
Yeah. So that leaves us just 5%, meaning 5% are the words that are actually come out of
verbiage.
Right. And so you think about how many times have you said, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, please forgive me. But your tone, your delivery, and your body language, your posture in that is going to make up for way more than the actual words that you're saying.
Yeah. So when I'm sorry with a deep breath and eye roll, I'm sorry. Check out the body language in that, the tone in that, which completely trump what you, if you actually are sorry, but those collectively just aren't going to fly.
Yeah. So we're going to break down what good communication looks like, what bad communication looks like, how to work through a communication conflict and confrontation. Because in communication, you got two different senders and receivers. So you're dealing with a whole bunch of information there. So we're going to break that down this episode and give you some practical and tactical tools on how you can improve your communication and improve your connection with anyone that you're communicating with.
Yeah, I love that. Let's dive into a story. So let's expose ourselves, Aaron. Since we've been in a relationship several years, we had some conflict recently, but tell the story on that.
Yeah, and it was gentle conflict because I think how we handled it is how two men with an equipped toolkit should handle communication. So Josh and I were obviously in the planning stages of getting season 3 set back up. And we had a plan to meet. And Josh is married. He's got kids. He's got businesses that he runs as well. And so we had scheduled some time. I think it was a Wednesday morning. And I remember what the reason was. Something came up. For me the night before, and I was not committed to showing up in the morning for our scheduled time. So I sent a message. A text message at
like 10:30 p.m.
No, it was earlier than that.
It was 10.
Sure.
Yeah, we can pull it back.
Okay, we'll pull up. But it was sometime in the evening. It was sometime in the evening. And so Josh doesn't receive the message until the next day because it's past his bedtime. He's in sleep with
him. I'm an early guy. I was in bed probably about 9:15 maybe.
So I send the message. I assume sent means received. It's me that is taking, that is changing the plan, and very selfish on my side. And Josh wakes up morning, he sees the message, he says, copy that. And then we have another meeting scheduled for either later in the week or something like that. First thing we do though, and Josh initiates this, and I love this about where we're at in our dynamic and our relationship, and this is how communication needs to happen. He says, hey, I just want to clear the space, Aaron, because first and foremost, sent doesn't mean received. And I was in bed, and I'm so grateful that my wife woke me up, because otherwise I would have probably been a lot more frustrated in the morning, knowing that I had to leave the door, and I moved around some coaching calls, and so I just want to have that conversation, right now. And I said, man, Josh, thank you so much for A, addressing that first and foremost, because this is a healthy boundary between two people. I didn't respect your time, changing plans last minute, and I totally would understand why you'd be upset and frustrated, and I hope that you'll accept my forgiveness and know that I will do my very best in the future to make sure this never happens again.
Yeah, and so the one, I just want to make it clear to everyone who's listening that the idea of something coming up in life happens to all of us. So having to change something relatively last minute is not the deal. Like, that was not a deal. Even though there were some things moved around, it wasn't at all about that. It was about the thought of you had said something or thought you'd said something. Mm-hmm. And because I'd gone to bed early, my wife woke me up later in the evening. And that's, I actually got the message closer, I think, to maybe midnight or some point when she woke me up, our daughter was up. But if I'd gotten up as usual for something and had gotten ready to leave the house at 6 a.m. to come and meet you, mm-hmm. and then gotten the message, I probably would have been in a different place. But the whole deal is not about life happening into us, around us, but more along the lines of the communication that you said sent did not get an opportunity to be received.
Yeah.
And then also, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but communication in as a whole, you've got to have three parts of it. And we'll go deeper here shortly, but what made our communication so profitable when we did get together, when we got together virtually, but when we did get together is communication is atmosphere. That's the biggest piece. Timing.
Okay.
And delivery. And so I'll give more understanding for that here shortly. But the atmosphere for us to have that conversation immediately once we were together, and the way that we both spoke to one another in tone and apologies were offered, even though I didn't feel like they're really needed. It was more like just get on the same page.
Yeah.
Is what made that conversation work so well. And again, it's another picture of why this works so well. We're very healthy with one another. But no, that was a great interaction that could have been something frustrating, but it wasn't at all.
Yeah. So the recap on that one, the atmosphere, and the atmosphere is the environment that you're in. And so, you know, a great ideal environment and atmosphere is in person, so that you can really pick up body language, you can understand tone if needed, you can give a handshake, high five, hug if it's your partner, but you can actually close the distance and create that human connection. And so meaningful conversations should not be done over text message, over phone call.
They,
you know, at your very best, if you can't get together in person, it needs to happen over Zoom. So you can at least pick up the body language. And then the second aspect, so we got atmospheres first, then it's the delivery. Delivery means how he's saying what he's saying is received in a way that's not going to trigger a response in me. Or there's some type of closeness, trust between the two people. You know, it's not just an attack. It's a matter of like healthy communication that is as close to resolving the problem as possible.
Well, let's break that down. So the three things is atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And really, it's our job to do it in a place where it's a safe time to do it.
Yeah.
We can all experience life and either be us or our partner, whoever we're attempting to communicate with, if they've had something happen in the day with the kids or at work and they're wound up like a $2 wash, it's probably not the time to bring something up that's going to be of meaningful meaning or value. Is to understand the right atmosphere to have the conversation. So that's number one. Timing is number two. So timing, you know yourself better than you, mm-hmm. than anyone else. And so, and especially if you're in a relationship, it's great to know your partner and their timing.
Sure.
I'm a super morning person. 4 a.m., bro, I'm ready to have an in-depth conversation. Let's go deep. Mm-hmm. My wife is not.
Yeah.
If I want to have something, if I want to bring something up with my wife, it is better for me to wait till around 11 a.m. or later. Now, in the same regard, you want to bring something up with me at 9 p.m., I probably don't have much left to give.
Sure.
So timing is understanding the timing of the atmosphere, creating safety, knowing that timing is so important because our days have such an intricate part of how we
experience life
and show up. Mm-hmm. So if you want to show up your best or if you want to be with somebody to show up their best, understanding timing. And then the delivery is what we already talked about. So delivery is the three things, body language, tone, and words. And so collectively, that becomes the equation to have great communication.
Love that.
Atmosphere, timing, and delivery. But delivery is body language, tone, and verbiage.
Love it. So good. So good. In this communication game they're playing, so there's the sender, and then there's the receiver. And there's also like another layer to that, right? And you guys talk about this in your coaching where there is the literal and the inferential. Ooh. And I think this is an important piece to touch on because it showcases opportunity to improve your communication, also understand what the people in your life are like. So you can see where communication breakdown actually happens. So the way that I understand a literal communicator is someone that says something with specificity. And it's very literal. It's specific. So let's hang out next Friday. I'd love to go see a movie. There's this movie I want to see. There's a 7 p.m. show and they work really great for me. Does that work for you?
At this movie theater, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's specific. I'll pick you up beforehand, right? And so like it's very, very specific. That's literal. The inferential is vague. It's non-specific. Hey, let's go catch a movie sometime.
Dot, dot, dot.
Right. And yeah, exactly. So there's the dot, dot, dot at the end of this. And you're like, okay, cool. Is like asking me out on a date? Is this going to be something where we're actually going to go connect? Like, is this at some point in the future? And so for the literal listener, it creates a feeling of like, what's next?
Yeah.
Right. So it almost creates a feeling of unsureness or uncertainty to where you're trying to seek a solution, not realizing the person is an inferential speaker where it's vague. It's just how they communicate.
Or I mean, could work out this way too, Eric. So we've got inferential and literal speakers and listeners. Either one. And so anyone can be a combination of any of those.
Correct.
So using the same scenario you just had, let's say an inferential speaker is saying something to a literal listener and says, let's go hang out.
Yep.
And the literal listener says, okay, because they heard it.
Right.
And then fast forward a few weeks, the inferential speaker was like, hey, I wanted to do something with you. We never did.
Yeah.
Well, the literal listener said, well, I said, okay. So that's just a tiny scenario. Yeah. And because this gets filed away, it's done.
Right.
Versus a literal speaker says, let's get together on Friday night at this movie, at this theater, at this time, etc. A literal listener would say, great, I'm in, puts it in the calendar.
Correct.
So just, it's one of those. And, yeah. And as a literal listener, this is really funny. My wife and I have this experience frequently. I'm a literal listener.
Uh-huh.
She's more of an inferential speaker. So mm-hmm. She'll say, hey, on the way home, grab some milk. In my maturity, because I know how I listen, I've got to be aware of it. My response to her is, great, milk, 1 gallon, which kind, whole, uh-huh. the vitamin D, 2%, whatever, which company, which brand. And I actually typically go, will you send me a picture of what I need to get?
Yeah.
Like that's how a literal listener generally processes. Now I know it's fluid. But for an inferential speaker, she's got to be aware of how I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So when she says, if she has an expectation of, hey, get milk, it would be wise of her to say, hey, get milk, 1 gallon, Borden, yeah. vitamin D, colors red.
Yeah. What I think it was a good tool. This was a great aha moment when I went through your flagship course. It's called same team.
No. NYU.
NYU.
So me, you, us is.
But I am also a literal listener. At the time, it was dating Rachel, and she is an inferential speaker. And so there'd be expressions of like, I'm cold or I'm hungry or it's drafty in here. And so I think I'm like action based. I'm just going to go do something. And it just is like, it's almost like automatic behavior. I'm going to go turn on the heat or I'm going to grab a blanket or I'm going to do something to solve the immediate. And so that's the awareness around where I can actually pause and ask the question like, okay, are you expressing or are you asking?
Yeah.
And in that awareness, it allowed us to be a great, much better communication.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love that example because that's Britt and I teach that example all frequently because we sat in this moment of she's an inferential speaker. Mm-hmm. I'm a literal listener. So laying in bed, if Britt says, I'm cold, the literal listener in me says, I'm sorry. Like I literally, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear, will you get me a blanket?
Mm-hmm.
Will you make me a cup of tea? Will you turn up the heat? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I heard I'm cold. And I go, I was like, I love my wife. I'm sorry. That may come off as cold to people.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't care enough. It has nothing to do with my thought processing. Versus if my wife had said, hey, I'm thirsty. And my response would be, I'm sorry.
Mm.
Again, not out of, I adore my wife. I hope everyone gets that.
Yeah.
But if she says, hey, I'm thirsty and I'd like a glass of water. I would get up and go get her a glass of water.
Sure, yeah, that's a direct request.
I'd like a glass of water with, you know, half cup of ice. Oh, I'm in. Baby, I got that.
Yeah.
But it's not a conscious decision that a inferential speaker would say something and a literal listener just choose not to love on them well.
Sure.
But it happens all around us. You guys, as you listen to this, I'm sure you have things come up in your mind. Like, I said something or somebody said something to me, and for whatever reason, we had conflict around it, and I thought we were good.
Yeah. And so that's the biggest point that we can touch on inside of this conversation we're having today is that there are two parts of communication. There is the sent, and then there is the receiving. And part of that sending and receiving, typically there's a breakdown or a perfect matchup of literal and inferential, listener and speaker, and in the dynamic of whether or not the body language, the delivery, the atmosphere, the timing, all of that is playing together in a perfect setting. So if you want to be a better communicator, you got to recognize all of these dynamics that are happening and take responsibility for your side of communication, which is 100%.
Yeah. And so, and I love you that you said that. So understanding these points and these tools are going to be the differentiator. And you can go back and listen to some previous podcasts where we really talk deep about this. But understanding that this is how communication flows for all of us will help you respond to your partner, to your marketplace, to circumstances versus reacting. And we touch on this as a key component of masculinity as a whole. And you've got to understand what communication is so that you don't end up being that 67.5% statistic down the road. It all comes down to understanding the atmosphere, the timing, and mm-hmm. your delivery, what all that means. It's not that complicated, but if you have an understanding of it, you'll be aware of it. And when the moments show up, you won't self-inflict, you know, a bullet shot through the thigh.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Or full auto out in public. So a couple tools we want to touch on about this. So there's two communication sentences that I have integrated into my toolkit. I love them because they allow me to not only get clarity, but also to slow down. I can be a very fast communicator. And in my fast communication, I recognize that not everything is received. and it creates a distance or dissonance between those that I'm communicating with. And so, especially in coaching calls, where I'm with a coaching client and I'm sharing something or giving them a tool or an application or giving some feedback, a tool that I ask is, what have you heard me say? What did you hear me say? Mm-hmm. And so that allows me to pause first and foremost. Is the sending being received? And so what did you hear me say is a good tool. And then on the other side of that, I can sometimes listen, but I'm also sometimes thinking about things I want to say. And so I miss the gap. And so a good way to make sure that I'm really being present is to tee up a question of, here's what I hear you saying, and then to repeat back. And so both of these are pause points in a communication. So one, Josh, as I'm talking to you, what do you hear me say? And so I'm checking, okay, cool, we're on the same page. Same page, awesome. And then as I'm hearing Josh speak and communicate, what I heard you say is this. And now I'm gonna give it back to my own words and language that allows us to recalibrate during the communication opportunity.
That's pivotal. That's huge. If couples would communicate like that, good night. That percentage that we just mentioned at 67.5 would probably drop down to the teens.
Yeah.
I mean, just generally speaking.
Well, I think the reason, well, there's probably a lot of reasons. The reasons why we bypass that is that we are so concerned with getting our point across, right? We want to be heard. We want to make sure that the other person really understands the weight or the emotion behind it. And so it becomes a bulldozing session rather than a communication session.
Which is not communication.
Yeah. Yeah. That breaks down. Okay. So we got those two tools. You guys talk about this with in your relationship coaching about how to use text messages effectively. Goodness.
Yes.
We talk on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So text message has become, I would say, a primary type of communication, or at least it's viewed that way, that we communicate not just general things in life, but emotions. Mm. People like to text fight with each other over messaging.
Text fight. That's the worst.
Mercy. And it's because, like, in the moment, if something frustrates you, we can whip out our phones, and before you know it, we've all had the book show up.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I'm going to get it out. And really, it's just, it's emotional vomiting.
Yeah.
And
it's a monologue. It's not a dialogue.
Absolutely. Yeah. And typically, it's just, it's an emotional flood that gets put down on paper, per se.
Yeah.
And never does anyone go back and think about it and edit it. We just hit send.
Yeah.
And we know what that grenade looks like. And before you know it, you know.
And we've all done it. And so we've literally all done it at some point.
So the big key about text messaging is, in text, the tone is left up to the receiver.
And so there's no body language.
There's no body language.
Yeah.
And so it's the full interpretation is left up to the person getting the message. Now, that's a roulette to play.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to have a valuable conversation. So what we teach is that text message, and this is, please write this down, take it to heart, try it for 30 days. Text messages for two things: grocery lists and love letters.
Love that.
What does that mean? Doesn't have to be grocery lists literally. So like anything happening with the kids, schedule-wise, actual grocery list, hey, I need something. You're passing by, will you pick up my laundry, whatever. You grab food on the way home. Grocery lists.
Yeah.
And then love letters. Hey, I was thinking about you. I am thinking about you. I just want you to know how you left this morning. You smell so good. Good Lord, you are so fine. Can't wait to see you later. Some sort of love message. Yeah. Outside of that, text is for nothing else.
Yeah.
Now, if a moment happens where you get frustrated, you feel like, I've got to hash this out, open up your notes page. Text inside your notes page. That doesn't mean text it, copy it, and send it. No.
Put it inside your notes. Get it out.
Get it out. Uh-huh. Come back to it later in the day, tomorrow if you're able to. Mm-hmm. Reread your thoughts. I promise you, about 70% of what you had to get out won't matter to you anymore.
Sure.
So you will have not, you know, put a bullet through your thigh or thrown a grenade into your bedroom. Doesn't mean what you had to say is not valid.
Right.
Doesn't mean the conversation doesn't need to be had, because if it means something to you, it does.
Yes.
But then take that note page after you've edited out that 70% or so that doesn't matter anymore, and have that conversation face to face when, remember these things, the atmosphere is right.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
The atmosphere is right. Yeah. It's the right time of day.
Yeah.
Don't do it while the kids, as soon as you come home, the kids have been nuts. Your wife is like, listen, I just need a break. You understand the right timing.
Yeah.
So atmosphere is right. Timing is right. And your delivery, make sure it's in a tone that you can have a true dialogue with. It's not an in your face, bitch, you did this. No, it's,
yeah.
Listen, we're having a conversation. I just want to share this with you. This came across wrong. I just want you to know that, that this hurt me, however it is for you. Text messages are for two things, grocery lists,
so good.
Love letters.
Yeah.
Utilize that note page and have the dialogue, not monologue, like you mentioned, it's strong. Have the dialogue in person.
So good. So good. And man, I can think about so many times in previous relationships with romantic partners, business partners, friends, where it's like you're just in the heat of the moment and it just comes out as like a one-way bulldozing monologue. And it breaks down all opportunity to create closeness and connection. There's going to be conflict in every relationship. But utilizing these tools where you're not A, attacking through text message, you're not doing it the wrong time, you're doing it in an environment. Driving is one of the areas. Oh, man.
Goodness.
I can tell you that the another terrible place, on top of text message, I'd probably put it at the top of the list in the worst environments to have a conversation, because you can't actually have a face-to-face conversation. It's one person driving, focusing on driving, and the other person really having a full-on like machine gun attack because they're in an isolated position. So that's an environment I'd say don't have dialogue, meaningful dialogue, especially if there's confrontation around it. But man, I love this. I love those three tools, is the environment, timing, which I think for us guys that are growing in their emotional maturity, like that's one thing is, okay, when is the right time for this? Probably a full 24 hours after like the heat of the moment,
yeah.
Like take a little time to decompress. And then the tone, and the tone is the area that we're going to touch on a lot, because the tone is enhanced, reinforced, is really is held up based on your needs, what you know about yourself, your emotional equanimity, your emotional leadership, and your ability to really process your own feelings before going into the dynamic.
Yeah, I love that you said it. And I think this will hit harder to most guys than we intend to, but I still want to say it is that you're talking about give some time mm-hmm. before you go and have that conversation, but men have the conversation.
Yeah, don't avoid it.
We are so good in general of suppressing and repressing
mm-hmm.
things that matter to us.
Sure.
Thinking like, oh, well, I'm just being a daisy if I had this conversation, or because you know so-and-so hurt my feelings, whether it's your spouse, your mm-hmm. partner, whoever it is. No, you need to have the conversation. If you don't, it will come back to bite you.
Sure.
At some point.
Yeah.
You got to pay the piper at some point.
Yeah.
So have the conversations. I love that.
Love it. Okay. So biggest point that we want to land the plane on this is that you are 100% responsible for your communication.
Yeah.
Like it's not your partner's job to listen better, to be a better listener. That's not it. And we've heard that before. It is not your partner's job to be a better communicator. It is your job to be a better communicator and listener. You are responsible for not only the sending, but also the receiving. You think about that. If you know that you're fully responsible for all of the communication loop, you're going to pay attention to the statistics. One, you're going to make sure that your environment is an environment that allows for healthy communication. You're going to make sure your tone, your delivery, and your timing are all in a way that's going to bring out the very best. And your goal of the communication should be a primary intention of closeness.
Yes.
It really should be.
Yes. Connection.
Connection.
Not I'm going to make you pay.
Yep. Such a good piece there. Is the purpose of communication is to create closeness and connection, not more conflict.
Yeah.
Love that. Anything that we forgot to go over on this episode?
Well, there's some. We'll cover quite a bit more in the future. This is an overview of what communication is. And guys, if 67.5% of marriages are failing because of communication, then it's not just marriages.
It's business 67.5%
of business relationships are failing. 67.5% of parental and children relationships are failing. And I tell you, in coaching, Aaron, this is just a side note, one of the most painful things that I've ever had to walk a grown man through is retro-parenting. So a man who's in his 40s, 50s, or 60s attempting to have a relationship with their children who are in their 20s, 30s, or 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Because of this, the lack of communication, the lack of intentionality, not understanding these tools. And I wouldn't wish, I mean, there's just so many things in life that could happen. I wouldn't wish retro-parenting on anybody. It is god-awful and painful. So get a hold of these tools and realize that there's a ripple effect in every area of your life. We use the marriage statistic, but it shows up in every area of your life.
How you do anything is how you do everything.
That's exactly right. So be aware of it. We'll talk more in depth about it later, but just get a good sense of what communication is and what parts of it you can own.
I love that. If you are improving your communication, you know someone that needs to improve in their communication, this would be a really good episode to share with them, to tag them in, to just be able to spend some time having a conversation on. You and your partner, your spouse, business partner, communication is the lifeblood of better connection. So if this episode served you in any way, do us a big favor, leave us a review, share it with a friend, tag us on social media as you work through these tools, and send us a DM. Let us know what you'd like to see in future episodes with the Highlight Man Conversation.
Love it. Strong.
Boom.
Off the podcast, get back to the fucking mental lab.